In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to Radio Maarif, the English broadcast from Qom City, Islamic Republic of Iran. The program we are casting now is the question and answers, mainly on the Islamic questions regarding different aspects of the theology, especially religious ones, specifically talking about Islam. And you can also send your questions and different aspects of this field through email or checking the websites on www.radiomaarif, spelled as maarif.ir, or through the email to radiomaarif@irib.ir. The expert invited to this program is Hojjat al-Islam, Dr. Barati, who is always ready to answer the questions. Dr. Barati, if you are having any greeting to introduce yourself or saying something,
we will come. Assalamu alaikum. I want to show my happiness and tell you I'm grateful to be with you and your listeners in this program, Question and Answer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, now let's listen to the first question.
Is it true that to pray to Allah to forgive our sins, taking into consideration the love and affection Allah bears to the Prophet, is a form of polytheism? I am at a loss to understand how it could be so. How then can we ask the Prophet on the Day of Judgment to plead for us when Allah Himself is even closer of access to us on that day? And it is our belief that the Prophet will make on the Day of Judgment, recommendations to Allah for the forgiveness of his followers. Keeping this in mind, is it appropriate to supplicate and request the Prophet to recommend for us forgiveness? And could you please explain whether there are differences of opinion among leading religious scholars in this respect? Thank you very much.
Okay, Dr. Barati, I think that the most important part of this question is supplication and recommendation by the Holy Prophet in the Day of Judgment. And in fact, the different ideas of the ulama or religious leaders nowadays. Is it true just to supplicate and recommend, you know, to the Holy Prophet on the Day of Judgment and to forgive all our sins? And what is it exactly?
Yes, of course, Shafa'at is mentioned in Holy Quran in several places and cases that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself emphasizes on this role of Prophet, peace be upon him. It is not a simple supplication and request without its roots, ideological roots, real and realistic rules. Because Prophet, peace be upon him, plays a very important role in our guidance, in our progress, in our salvation and luck.
Prosperity.
That's it. So because he has a very realistic role in this regard, not only to convey the message of Allah exactly and truly and with honesty and trust to the ummah, to the nation, but to show them how to receive it, how to accept it, how to practice it in the life. Prophet is also our symbol, our leader, our teacher, and our guardian of religion. Prophet plays a very multidimensional role. So because of that, it is not possible to have a relation, direct relation with God. God is closer to us than Prophet. Yes, it is true. But in the function and the process of salvation, Prophet is necessary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show his important role here. And in addition, Prophet is not only conveying the message, but putting a lot of emphasis and persuasion to lead his ummah, his nation, to a very good destination. That's because Prophet, peace be upon him, even in this regard, Shafa'at, has a very important role in comparison with other prophets, the amount of love and interest and affection. Heat, and prophet, for example, consumes for this is more than other prophets.
That's it.
Prophet, peace be upon him, insists to God for this important issue. And even he says, I want you, God, to forgive all of them. It is not necessary for him to do this because he finished his mission. When he delivered the message, if he was like another convoy or another messenger, he conveyed the delivered the message and finished. Nobody asked him why and when you left the work, because he finished his job. No, he is not only showing you, because guidance are three types.
Okay.
One time you show the destination only. Another time you lead the person to the destination. You come with him, okay. Take his hand and take him step by step to this destination. Prophet is doing this. He's not, for example, going to rest without be sure that you are rescued.
That's it.
You are saved.
And I think that is not good, really, to only rely on the prophet and you yourself don't do anything.
Never means this. Means that prophet has a very important role.
That's it.
Prophet is doing more than his ordinary mission.
That's it.
It doesn't mean that be sure and it is guaranteed that you are saved and you are rescued and do everything you want.
It depends on the person's deeds too.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking about the good deeds and the evil deeds,
of course.
Their time, and the Holy Prophet, is the role of the Holy Prophet in the Day of Judgment as a mediator?
Of course, because he was mediator in delivering the message.
That's it.
In education, in direction, in guidance, and now has the same role in final salvation and saving.
You know, the question was mainly concerned with the Shafa and Tavassu in the Judgment Day. What about the daily life? Let's talk about this one, you know. Can we divide it to, in fact, the worldly and otherworldly one? And if somebody is going to supplicate and recommend something from the Holy Prophet and the infallible imams and the leaders, who are also, of course, the source of Shafa too, aren't they?
Of course, yeah.
Of course they are. So,
the saints and the awliya,
that's it,
gain a level of shafa.
That's it.
But the highest rank is for Prophet Muhammad. Well,
what our supplications should be in daily life? You know, nowadays, especially in the modern times, living nowadays, most of the people are engaged with something mundane, with something worldly. Is it really, in fact, asking for shafa from the high-ranking position like Holy Prophet, who has a divine character? What could be the daily shafa? What is it exactly?
Depends on how you think about it and how you consider it and how you categorize it.
That's it.
Some people categorize any kind of dialogue between us and, for example, people are demised like saints, left this world, any kind of dialogue and discussion between us and them is forbidden. It's haram. Why? Because this is shirk. I cannot understand and is never possible to understand. For example, if I am talking with you personally, is it shirk?
No, it's not.
Okay. If you, after 120 years, you go to another world, to heaven.
Okay.
Then I want to talk with you. Is it shirk?
I don't think so.
Why it could be shirk? I was talking with some of these Wahhabi scholars Mecca after the Hajj rituals. So I went to pay them a visit and discuss with them upon some issues like this. Also, I had a Sunni brother, a Sunni imam with me from Iran, because we were in the same caravan, in the same group, Hajj group. So I told him, please come. We want to go to meet some of these scholars here. They have prominent scholars, as they call them, Kibarul Ulama.
That's it.
So we went and visited them, and I asked them some questions, including this question. I have read something in their books, fatwa books, that somebody asked them, This is a very interesting question. There was a question from Hayat Kibar al-Ulama, Muftin.
Okay.
If we call somebody who is dead, is it shirk? The Mufti answers, yes, it is shirk because he is dead and he cannot hear you. In continuation of question, the person asks, okay, if there is somebody alive, is not dead.
Okay.
But, for example, my friend, Ahmad, is sitting with me, goes out from the room and goes to the street.
Okay.
I call him from here. For sure, he does not hear me.
Okay.
Oh, Ahmad, come here. Ahmad does not hear me. So you told we cannot call dead persons because they don't hear. And this becomes shirk. Okay, this man also cannot hear.
Okay.
And I called him. Is it shirk? Okay. They say yes. When I told him, you have written this in your book and it is not true, he was so angry. He hit the table and told, you are lying. I told him, no, it is possible to go to the book because the book is published everywhere.
That's it.
And we bought some of copies of them and took to Iran.
Yes, and somehow there are some contradictions between your sayings in the book.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It was really nice of you to hear such answer.
Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah.
Is it true that we learn all the names of Allah, we will go to heaven?
Yes, this question is mainly concerned with the names of Allah, or better known as the epithets of Allah. Only knowing the names of Allah may cause going to heaven. Is it true?
No, this is a kind of superficial understanding.
That's it.
Comprehension of what is said by saints and by mystic leaders. Noun of Allah does not here mean the word, voices, or for example, alphabetical, for example, compilations. Names of Allah are those things who represent Allah and represent His powers, His attributes.
That's it.
So if we gain them, if we receive them, means that we have received a kind of important and strong relation with God. So if we possess one of episodes or names of God, means that we are representing God. We have some good attributes, which is close to attributes of God. We have became slaves of God, servants of God, Ibadullah, Awliyaullah. Yes, these people go to heaven, of course, for sure, no doubt. But repeating some words and then we go like password. When we use password, they open the door and go inside.
That's a parrot-like action, you know. So, yeah. So some actions are like parrot, you know, repeating something on and on does not mean... I mean that our superficial look should be changed to a deeper look.
Yeah. They think names of Allah are password. You can enter the site or enter the
This is completely a superficial look. Yeah. So only the names of Allah and reciting them will not cause going to heaven. But
not in all cases. In some cases, yes. When you have the meaning with you, when you represent the meaning, you have this attribute inside you. Allah is merciful, you become merciful. If you are merciful, so you are possessing a name of God. Means that this attribute of God is existing in you, in your soul. You deserve to go to heaven. But not you say the word and act in contradictional way.
Contradiction. Yeah. Considering neutrally, I mean, a person does not act according to what he says. But at the same time, he does not, in fact, he does not do any bad or evil deeds. But only does the action of revocation of the Allah's name. What about that case?
Is useless, meaningless here. Uh-huh. Because he should possess the meaning, as That's I told it. You.
That's it. Thank you very much. It was very great of you. Now let's get to the third question for today's program.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a question. Why doesn't God speak directly to his prophet like Muhammad, peace be upon him, but always uses the angel Gabriel to give the message to his chosen ones? And after that, the prophet spreads the word of Allah to the people. Thank you.
This question is mainly about the fact that why doesn't God speak directly to Prophet Muhammad and says the, in fact, angel Gabriel? What is the reason and that God does not spread the word of himself directly to the people?
God is the creator and the director and the guardian of this world, of the whole system of the world.
That's it.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not interfere in special works directly, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this system and everything is functioning inside the system, small or big.
Okay.
For example, wide or narrow. Everything is in system. Aballah an yujri al-umur illa bi-asbabiha. For everything there are causes, there are systems, there are chain of causes, and also for great things like revelation,
okay,
for religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the work because he is the director of the world. He is the Lord of the world. So the Lord is not doing everything he himself, personally, divides the work, gives a mission to different agents, and they follow the work. So the agent for revelation is Angel Gabriel, as you told. Jabrail is in all religions, especially Abrahamic religion, religions, the angel responsible for revelation, for wahy, for being intermediator between God and his prophets. So this is a kind of necessary system for the world, for spiritual world, for materialistic world, and also because the message is very important.
Okay.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe gives some, for example, notifications to some prophets, or, for example, puts in the meaning inside the mind of prophet sometimes. But for this revelation, for this religion, for entire book, for entire, for example, text, scripture, because of importance of it, it should be delivered officially by all of the protocols, by a great respect and honor, in this manner, should brought by a, for example, agent or convey, especially for these things. Sometimes is doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing ordinary things, simple things, okay. But like you know, in for example, governments when they want to deliver a decree of one prime minister or minister, they do all of the necessary protocol and for ceremonies. And it is in a very important program, witnessed by everybody, shown in public, and, for example, special officers, special, for example, what do you call them, escorts, or, for example, groups of, what do you call them, for example, honor.
That's it.
They come and do this, not simply give something to somebody.
That's even in our daily lives you can see such a thing, let alone to the spiritual character like Prophet Muhammad or the in fact, the power and the attributes of Almighty Allah. Another part of his question is this. When something as a message, called as a message, is in fact conveyed to Prophet Muhammad by the Gabriel, the exact, and at the same time, I want to say, the exact phrases and the exact clauses of that message are delivered to the people?
Yes, this is our belief and creed. Even some philosophers and some skeptic, for example, theologians or theologists from other religions have raised questions in this regard. But it is a very obvious, clear, and stable belief in Islam that Quran is revealed word by word.
And
Prophet narrated it word by word without any change. Even one letter didn't change, is not changed in this message. This is the difference between our scripture and other scriptures.
Okay.
Because followers of other religions, they admit, they confess that this existing scripture is not what is revealed exactly.
Somehow that is distorted. I mean, with a little bit of distortions, you know, in it, in the text especially.
It is not the message exactly.
Exactly.
But in different ways. Sometimes it's written by others, sometimes, and even they name who is author of this book. For
That's
example,
it.
Matthew, Marcos.
That's it.
They are compiler of these books. Never they claim this is written by God or written by Jesus. You know, Matthew, Marcos, Yohanna, John,
yes.
And who?
Joshua.
Yeah.
Yusha.
No.
Look.
Loga.
Look. Latin, yes. Look, yes.
Yeah. These are compilers of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear and simple. And all of them have agreed upon this.
Okay.
But we say no. Allah dictated and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated and the writers wrote
at the same time.
Yeah,
that's it.
Simultaneously, immediately, without any
deletion or omission,
without any what you call delay.
That's
but also they believe and accept that the time,
that's
the exact time for compilation of these Bibles is a little bit later than escalation of Jesus or, for example, disappearance of Jesus, maybe 80 years, 30 years, 50 years. And then they wrote from their memory.
That's it.
These people wrote from the... And they wrote a kind of history book.
That's it.
Not the exact message.
That's it.
They quoted.
Looking historically at the empire
from
the past.
Wrote a book.
That's
yes,
it.
Some of messages are included, some of the stories, something they witnessed is included. But these are books compiled. This is another thing. Then distortion and the tahrif is another thing. And the beginning and the origin of the book is another material, issue.
That's
for
it.
The origin and essential of the book, also they admit that these are people, but they are prominent people. They are close people to the Prophet. Companions of Prophet, very close friends of Prophet, they have witnessed his life or a part of his life. These prominent people and sacred people and saints wrote this book. But in Islam, nobody is author of the Quran but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
Kitabullah.
That's
we call it Kitabullah, book of Allah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu. Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, 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 Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu. Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum.
I have read in my school book that Allah has assigned two angels to each one of us who are called the writing angels. They record everything we do. My question is, since Allah knows everything already, why do we need those angels on our shoulders to be writing down what we do?
Okay, it's a very nice question that says, Allah has assigned two angels for everyone. I mean, call them as writing angels. In fact, the question, the exact question is this: since Allah can see everything, you know, and He has, in fact, He has control over any action in the world, and He can monitor any action of the people around the world. So, what is the use of these two writing angels? What are they created for?
Okay. As I told you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do everything by Himself. He's powerful, omnipotent in every aspect of life. He has the capability and power to do everything. But this is for necessary protocol, as I told you, like in judges, in courts, judges bring witnesses, one or two witnesses.
That's it.
And also this is a kind of emphasis an indication for the person, for the accused person, to know that there are several witnesses. There is not only one witness.
Okay.
And if there is one witness, maybe he leaves the shame. He says, me and Allah are very close to each other. Nobody else knows, so He forgives me. Because when you are in a hidden place or in a private place, you have privacy, maybe you do everything you would like. But you, when you notice that some eyes are looking at you, somebody is, for example, controlling you, rather than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the number of witnesses are increasing, you control yourself more. These are necessary for this person to be convinced and to be able to control himself better.
And these two writing angels are for writing the evil and the good deeds of the, in fact, the people, aren't they?
According to traditions, one is responsible for writing good and another one is responsible for writing bad deeds. But both of them are aware of what we do. But also the duties are divided.
And would they be, one of the most important witnesses in the judgment day? To say that our actions are, in fact, somehow do it as a record. They are recording, in fact, our actions and the deeds in this world just to be casted for us. You know, for example, now we are getting in the studio. We are just recording a program to be casted for the listeners later. You know, now our actions, our speaking, our behaviors are completely shown in our voice, okay? there is certain something in the other world. I'm talking about the judgment day, that there should be a record for your actions. Even, in fact, some scholars and some ulama, religious ulamas, believe that, in fact, the organs of your body are going to, in fact, they record your actions, aren't they?
Forget about ulama. It is mentioned in Quran.
That's it.
All of these are mentioned clearly, obviously in Quran. There is a record. They bring your record in the day of judgment to you, and you read in it.
That's it.
And also, in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disables your tongue asks your organs to witness. All of them are in
the
Quran mentioned.
That's it.
وَنَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. So this is not left for ulama to have opinions on it.
That's it. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Hujjat al-Islam, Dr. Barati. It was very nice of you. And I think that the questions posed today were really meaningful. And it was, as usual, always nice of you to answer them in a comprehensive and complete manner. Thank you very much. If you can add something or you have anything to add?
Thank you very much. No.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. You know, the listeners, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims, and every person around the world, you can send your questions through the, in fact, the emails of the programs to Radio Ma'aref. Ma'aref is spelled as @irib.ir. You can also visit our website for more information on www.radiomaref.ir. You can also call the phone number 2098-251-291-0551. or two. Thank you very much, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters. And we will also listen to some questions for the next programs, discussing different aspects of the religious, specifically Islam. You can ask and pose your questions for different aspects. Thank you.
لبيك يا فتاح يا رزاق يا عليم لبيك يا وهاب يا تواب يا كريم لبيك يا فتاح يا رزاق يا لبيك يا الله لبيك 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 يا الله لبيك يا وهاب يا تواب يا كريم لبيك يا فتاح لبيك يا وهاب يا تواب يا كريم لبيك يا فتاح يا رزاق يا عليم لبيك 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 يا لبيك لبيك لبيك